Amen. Hosanna in the highest. Woo. Palm Sunday. I love it. So cool. Man. This is the... Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Uh-oh. I spilled coffee. That's not polished.
Uh-oh.
Can we get some paper towels? Thanks, Tara. Thanks. Awesome. Awesome. Thanks a lot. I could use some more of this, too. Thanks. A few more? Okay. Well, welcome to FWC, where we are not professional. We just serve the Lord. Yep, we love the Lord. We love coffee. Amen. So this is the third year we've been here. I think I mentioned that the last time I was up here. But I guess I'd like to share just candidly about my experience at FWC these past few years. Stuff like the processional and doing outreach here at the church has really taught me how to be a light in the world. Like I haven't got to experience before. I was an intern pastor the first year I think we were here, and Adam gave me a stole with crosses and said, stand on the street every Sunday and just be overtly religious. And overt. And I'm like, what the heck? And we've been praying out here for the call to worships, and it's a way of living a life of faith that I never got to experience before. You know, it's like closet Christian versus, you know, standing on the street corner Christian. It's been really neat. So that was totally unplanned. I just wanted to share my heart a little bit. And so the Palm Sunday thing is close to my heart because of that reason. It's a way to really express what the Lord's done in us as a people, as believers. And I think it's really good for our culture. I think it's something that that people need to see, you know. So today I got to go to a family reunion. Every year we do it. And we get this family photo, you know. And every year, my little brother, he's got this frown. It's like there's always one person to, like, either be crying like a hunter or frowning when, like, everyone else is happy, you know. I don't know what that is, but there's something about that. So I'm sure my little brother this year, we get our photo, and he's going to be like this. You're like, Braxton, smile. This is how I smile. Like, smile with your teeth. This is how I smile. Like, just leave me alone, you know. He's 18. He's going to be a senior. I don't know. Maybe that's what they do. But what do you think, Larry? No, they're not all like that. So, smiling is... Oh, millennials don't smile anymore? Okay. I smile, I'm a millennial, you know, but they say things. Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. So we all have differences. If we were to order a pizza, we would all probably request a different topping. Like, I don't like mushrooms, but I don't like sardines either. But I know my father-in-law loves sardines. Does anyone else love sardines on their pizza? You do? Yeah? Or anchovies? So there's like one or two people in the whole room. It's going to ruin the whole pizza for everybody. So We try. Yeah, it'd be a good pizza for you, huh? If you had your perfect day to do whatever you wanted, let's say it's a Sabbath, or let's say it's just a day off, you know, the boss says, here's money for coming into work, go and spend it however you want, I'll see you tomorrow. What would you do? Oh, like $100. Yeah. Yeah. So you do the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Sue? Yeah.
I'd spend some time at the beach, and then I'd maybe go to a church and just sit and pray for a little while, and then I'd go do something fun. I might go to a movie.
So praying at church isn't fun? I'm just kidding. I'm picking on you. I'm picking on you. It is. I know. It's just like different fun.
You need fresh air.
Yeah. 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 Brad. Oh.
I take my family to like a restaurant because we don't usually get to like go to restaurants often.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're little.
I would do the movies too.
Yeah.
I'd probably do some frisbee golf and a movie. And my wife would probably want to do yoga, eat some hummus, and I don't know, drink kombucha. You know? I'm like, I want a cheeseburger. Yeah, Gene. Angel game would be fun. Go Angels. So most of the time, we feel different about certain things, and it's pretty harmless, you know? It's probably good. I think the Lord wanted it that way. And then there's some things that it's really good that we are on the same page. So if you could open to Matthew chapter 21. Sue, I'm so sorry to pick on you like that.
Okay,
is that okay?
No.
I was totally just having fun. Yeah. It is fun. All right. Matthew 21. And for those of you who don't know what Palm Sunday is, it's basically a celebration of the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and he was accepted as a king figure, and so we honor that today and sort of reenact that. So we're going to read that story, verse 1 in Matthew 21. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? The crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. So continuing, verse 12. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," or "Hosanna to the Son of David," because they're kids, the Pharisees were indignant, and they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" Jesus says, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise'?" And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. So Jesus quotes Psalm 9. And I'm struck with the contrast of the people in Jerusalem receiving Jesus and then the Pharisees. Because it's like we have differences, yeah, but this is a huge moment. And their differences are really harming them right here. You see it in Luke as well. If you want to go to Luke 19, I'm going to read that one as well. That's my little girl. I want to read the story of Zacchaeus. Is that right? Zacchaeus? I love those fun words, fun names. All right, starting Luke 19, verse 1. "He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down, received him joyfully. And when they saw it," referring to the Pharisees, "when they saw it, they all grumbled." Right, Marquita, was that referring to the Pharisees? Sorry, put you on the spot. Yeah, the people. "So they hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And they saw it and grumbled, 'He has gone in to be a guest of a man who is a sinner.' And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restored it fourfold.' Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost.'" So the king of Israel, Jesus Christ, the Savior, he came to seek and save the lost. Now let's keep reading. Verse 28. "And when he had said these things," I skipped a big parable, so it's really nice if you want to read it. What's that? Yeah, I'm still in Luke, verse 28, chapter 19. The triumphant entry. "And when he said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent his two disciples, 'Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it, bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And he said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus. And throwing on their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen him do. They said, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Hosanna.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. So you see again there the difference. The Pharisees had a different opinion of this thing. And it's crippling. I wrote a few things here. So the Pharisees, they had a different opinion, and it wasn't grounded in Scripture. Jesus quoted the Scriptures to them to say, show them their folly. And we see this in the Pharisees. They had this way of sticking to their traditions, and Jesus rebuked them a lot. They put this law and their traditions above the love that God was showing them right then and there, you know? And when Jesus goes into the temple and he goes, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And this is the summary of the law and the prophets. He says, like, look, you guys are missing it. You got the law part right, but the law is a law of love. Like, so you need to love me, love each other. That's the whole point. It's not that your law is all bad, but you're putting it above me, you know, and I'm right here in front of you. Second thing is the Pharisees have become great in their own eyes. So worship, there's two words for worship. Miranda showed me this. The Hebrew word is kavah, and that's Old Testament. The New Testament word would be proskuneo. And the whole idea behind worship is this orientation of yourself in the recognition of someone else's or something's greatness. And in that word, oftentimes it's, or every time it's, the description of that word is people falling down. Their face goes into the dirt, their knees are, you know, if it's muddy, their knees are muddy, their shoulders are muddy, their face is in the dirt, and that's how you bestow honor on someone else. So what I want to say is that the Pharisees, they perceive themselves as great, so they missed the opportunity to declare Jesus great. See, they weren't humble enough to declare Jesus' greatness. I believe they were blinded by their own greatness. And number three, the Pharisees lost sight of their lostness. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. So, the Pharisees should have been singing the same stuff, right? Like, are they not just as lost as the Gentiles? Like, they clearly they are, because they're not even worshiping Jesus. So they lost sight of their lostness. The tragedy of the Pharisees and the leaders of the law was their assuming that they could see. Instead of humility and respect for Jesus, they were offended. What's interesting is that Jesus was doing righteously. He was healing and preaching and fulfilling prophecy, and they couldn't even praise God for it. See, because Jesus had this way about him that was a little bit off, just off kilter, off tradition a little bit. Like, in the synagogues, you were traditionally only supposed to teach the way it was taught to you, like almost verbatim. But Jesus was out there preaching to people in this new way they've never heard. Like, these were his words. And the people, it says that the people were like in awe of his authority, you know, because he could just come out and teach this doctrine as if he was the source of it. And that was all new. And the Pharisees didn't know how to handle it. But really, they should have said, oh my gosh, this is the Lord we've been waiting for. This is the Savior. All the signs are there. But they were totally blind to it. You know, they missed it. It's tragic. I think in some ways, it's like they wanted to show off when Jesus came back. This is to the side. This is sort of my opinion. It's like they want to show off to the Lord, like, look at what we've held on to this law for you. And Jesus is like, yeah, that's cool, whatever, but I just want you to love each other, love me, and keep the commandments, and stop doing this, this, and this, and this, this. And they're like, oh, no, like, we hate this guy, you know, kill him. And I think even today, like, do we do that a little bit? Like, do we think, like, Lord, look at how great our church is. Like, look at, like, do we want to show off in a sense instead of just like offering it all to him, just bowing down and saying, thank you, praise you, you're king, you saved us. There's nothing else we can really do. I think that a little bit, like maybe the Pharisees were expecting him to say good job. And because he didn't, they just got all offended. Our praise isn't what makes God great, or our services. God is great because God is great. And God is still praised without us praising him. We praise him because we get to praise him, because he is wonderful, and because we are not great. We all have differences. But at one point or another, we will bow. And we all will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Today is a great day on the calendar. It's like if you don't know what to do, just come to church and put your face on the ground. Just lay here. That's it. Just lay here. And say, thank you. If you don't know, like, the theology of things, it doesn't matter. You just lay here and say, thank you, Lord. You saved my guts. And you tuck my soul in at night. And you know way more than me. Thank you. And there's great comfort to know that that's okay. That, like, the Lord says, good job to that. Like, good job to just laying down and saying, you are good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are good. Hallelujah. And he's like, cool. You know? Don't try to impress me. You're cool just doing that. Like, good job. You know? Shoot. Thanks for laughing. Awesome. So our worship pastor, which is such a cool title. Are you still worship pastor? Worship associate pastor? Anyway, Paul Stebner, he has a saying. He says, get low before the Lord. Just get low, get low. And today, the Lord says to us, get low. Get low tomorrow, get low the next day, get low next Sunday. Just keep coming back and getting low. We need to get low. We are saved. The Lord encourages us today. If you're wondering what to do, just get low. If you're stuck in sin, just get low. If you're full and successful and doing great, get low. If you're burnt out, get low. If you're thankful, get low. And I believe that the best family photo that the Lord could ever hang up on his wall is a picture of a church or a park or whatever, and you don't see anything but people laying down on the ground. That's the photo the Lord wants to hang up on his wall. So the worship team is going to sing one more song, and then we're going to close up. But let's just get low together. Jewish blessing. Blessed be the Lord our God and the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, the Most High God, who showeth mercy and kindness, who createth all things, who remembereth the gracious promises to the fathers, and bringeth a Savior to their children's children. For his own name's sake, in love, O King, Helper, Savior, and Shield, blessed art thou, O Jehovah, the Shield of Abraham. Amen.
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 And as we continue, we do have our differences. Our worships might be different a little bit, but as long as we're all low together, I think we'll be okay.
I mean, he saw the crowd, he saw the people worshiping him coming in on the donkey, but you know what? Jesus knew the hearts, and I love that he knows our hearts, and that he looks at each of us individually, whether we're, I can't get down on the ground, but my heart gets down. My knees don't work, but my heart does. And I think, why have I kept coming back? Because he's personal, he's here. I see him in each of you. I see him in your lives, your hearts, your life, your humbleness, your dedication, your love of the Lord. And he looks at each of us individually, and that's what keeps me going. It's kept me as a Christian for 50 years, even though I made a lot of mistakes. But he is. His eyes are upon us. So this week, we have the privilege of remembering that he came in on a donkey and was praised, but he chose to get low. He chose to get low. He crawled to the cross for us. So this week, go with Hosanna on your lips and the grace of God, and come back and celebrate his resurrection. And remember that he's making all things new, because he's a creator. So bless you. Go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.